So here we go. We're going to get into the Word, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 23. So I'm going to give you a little background of this story. It's anybody heard of David, King David? Well, this story is about David. And David, this is before he was a king. But he had already slayed Goliath. You guys probably heard of David and Goliath. And so he had already killed Goliath. And he was a man of God, loved God and loved worshiping God. He was a shepherd. He was a warrior. Yeah. He was also a worship leader. He played the harp. Probably played a lot of other things, but played the harp. And Saul was king at the time, and David was under him. And he would play the harp for Saul when Saul's spirit was troubled. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God was in Saul, but it left Saul and went into David. And so when his spirit was weak, he would call David in, and David would come and play the harp for him, and he would minister to him, and he would feel regenerated. And so David and Saul had a pretty good relationship, but as David would grow older and Saul started seeing the giftings in David and seeing who he really was and who he's becoming, that he was anointed by God, he started to be jealous of him and he started to hate him. And so Saul wanted to kill David. And so when we get into chapter 23, he is pursuing David to kill him. Saul and his army are pursuing David, and David is going to different towns, and he's a warrior, and so he's building an army around him of men who are following him, and so he continues to seek the Lord during this time, and he is a man of God and loves God so much, and continues to pursue God, even though this is a hard time in his life because he's pursued by a really powerful man who wants to kill him. So we're going to go 1 Samuel 23, verse 14. This is kind of long, and I'm a slow reader, so it might take a little while. Verse 14. David stayed in the desert strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. Hallelujah. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life, and Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Now, David and Jonathan were best friends. They were really close and loved each other as brothers. "Don't be afraid," he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. The Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah and said, "Is not David hiding among us in the strongholds at Horesh on the hill of Hakilah, south of Jeshimon? Now, O king, come down whenever it pleases you to do so, and we will be responsible for handing him over to you." Saul replied, "The Lord bless you for your concern for me. Go and make further preparation. Find out where David usually goes and who has seen him there. They tell me he is very crafty. Find out about all the hiding places." If you have your Bible and a pen, does your Bible say hiding places? Mine says hiding places. If it says hiding places, circle that. It's important. "Find out about all the hiding places he uses and come back to me with definite information. Then I will go with you. If he is in the area, I will track him down among all the clans of Judah." So they set out and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the desert of Maon in the Arabah south of Jeshimon. Sweet names. Saul and his men began the search. And when David was told about it, he went down to the rock and stayed in the desert of Maon. When Saul heard this, he went to the desert of Maon in pursuit of David. Saul was going along one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side, hurrying to get away from Saul. As Saul and his forces were closing in on him, David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul saying, "Come quickly, the Philistines are raiding the land." Then Saul broke off his pursuit of David and went to meet the Philistines. That is why they call this place Selah Hamalek Goloth. Lickakoff, something. And David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. That's another important word, strongholds. It's good. 1 Samuel 24, verse 1. We're going to go all the way to 1 Samuel chapter 28. Just kidding. Like, are you serious? After Saul, I heard that. Thank you, Jesus. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, "David is in the desert of En-Gedi." So Saul took 3,000 chosen men from Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep's pen along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for tonight, God. We thank you for your word and how powerful your word is, God. Father, we thank you that we can come in this place and fellowship and learn more about you and know about you, God, and be in your presence. Father, I'm asking that you just soften our hearts tonight, God. Let us just be moldable and teachable, God. And we ask that you personally would speak to us tonight. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. So David is being pursued by Saul. And so as I was reading this scripture, I was trying to figure out what David was doing. And what I kept seeing is he's going to the hiding places, or he's going to the strongholds. And I'm asking, what does this mean? What does this mean? And I felt like the Lord was speaking to me that David was going where he knew he would be strong, which were these strongholds, which were these hiding places. But as he continued to go to these places, he continued to seek the Lord. And everywhere he went, the Lord was with him. And he would be in the hiding places of God. See, God was David's refuge. God was David's strong house and strong tower. And that's where he hid, and he felt his safety was in the Lord. So all of us can relate to this in the fact that there are evil and things that pursue us and continue to come after us, things of the world, things that have hurt us already in our heart that continue to pursue us. And David was in this situation that someone was after him to kill him. And he just continued to pursue him. And out of all the things that David could have done, David went to the hiding places, which were in God. He trusted the Lord and found his refuge in him. When I was thinking of this, two main things came to mind that we do when things pursue us and when things of the world continue to pursue after us. The first thing that we have tendencies to do is to go into battle, is to just fight ourselves, is to just try on our own. And see, David was a warrior. David killed Goliath. Saul had nothing on Goliath. He could have killed him easily. But he didn't pick up his sword and try and fight himself. Not fight himself, but fight by himself. He sought the Lord. He asked God, "Where do I go next? God, what should I do next?" And continued to hide himself in the Lord. Because that's what he knew best to do. But see, I think we have tendencies to try and go into battle ourselves. When I first got saved, I tried and tried to be a good Christian. You know, I got rid of all my bad CDs, which was a good thing to do. I got rid of all my bad movies, another good thing to do. It was a lot of them. Lots of them. But I got rid of them. And then I tried to stop cussing, which is, you know, it's good. You shouldn't cuss. That's right. But the problem was that I just kept trying to do it. And it wasn't getting me anywhere. I had a bad mouth. I had a perverted mouth. I was angry all the time. Why are you laughing? I was angry. And these things just kept coming around because I tried to stop doing them. I tried to stop punching trees. I tried to, which I eventually did because I broke my hand and it wasn't fun. But I tried to stop cussing and it just wasn't working because I was trying. I think of a boxer, right? Boxers come out in the first round and they're just like swinging at each other, you know, boom, as hard as they can. They're just going crazy. They're not even trying to block. They're just swinging because they just want to knock the other person out. At least that's what I do when I box. Just close my eyes and swing, you know. But a lot of fighters will just go out and they'll try and end it soon and try and swing hard quickly. You guys ever watch the Rocky movies? See, in Rocky movies, right, this guy is crazy. He just get hit, like, all the time. But it always go to, not always, but some of the times it would go to, like, the ninth round. And if you've been swinging for eight rounds, the ninth round, your arms are like jello. And you're just like, you know, just trying to stay up there. And there's no way of blocking punches. You're not moving quickly. You're just kind of staggering around like this, you know, just trying to swing, just trying to land a punch. And I think a lot of us end up doing this. We have situations in our life that we feel like just keep pursuing us. And we just try and fight it ourselves. You say, well, I can do that this time. I can do it this time. And we go out strong and we start swinging, but they just keep coming back. Those things continue to pursue us. It just never ends. Because we're trying to do it on our own. We're trying to fight our own battles. But see, David didn't go out swinging with the sword, even though he could have taken out Saul and probably a lot of his men. But he knew he had to find his refuge in God and that God would overcome it all. See, at the end of this story, it says that God delivered Saul into his hands. And he was just in one of the hiding places. He was just in the cave. And Saul just walks into that cave because God delivered him. And see, that's what happened when I finally realized after trying to stop being angry and trying to stop cussing and almost fell right there. And try and be a good Christian. I finally realized I need to just give it to the Lord and spend some time with Him. And after I did that, it just disappeared. And it wasn't right away, but God took care of it. God just delivered it from me because I allowed Him to. Because I allowed Him to. And I think a lot of you are just swinging and swinging and trying to get over that bridge and trying to get away from that sin that keeps haunting you. Maybe it's sexual immorality or sex before marriage or whatever you want to call it, sleeping with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, right? Or just, kind of had an accent when I said girlfriend. Or just doing things with other guys or with other girls, just pushing those boundaries. And we try and stop doing it like, okay, I'm not going to do it this time. But the opportunity comes past and it just happens again. But we're trying really hard. I'm trying not to look at dirty magazines anymore, but somehow they just keep appearing in front of me. Right? But see, we're just trying too hard. And I'm not telling you to not try. But I'm telling you, you need to give it to the Lord. Because David just gave it all to the Lord. And he said, God, show me where to go, and that's where I'm going to go. There's a scripture in Psalm 46:10. It says, cease striving and know that I am God.
I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
Cease striving. Or you probably know it as be still and know that I am God. Cease striving. Don't just try and do it all on your own. Or you're going to get worn out. You're going to get tired of just trying to do works. Because that's all it is you're just doing works of what you think a Christian is supposed to look like. But really, it's about intimacy with the Father. And coming and knowing God like David knew God. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is we try running from our issues and we just cover them up. Some of us have been really wounded in our lives. Someone has hurt us at a young age. And so from then on, we decide that we're going to have this cover-up. We're going to pretend like we're a different person. For me, I was always a skinny kid, like I still am. And I used to get picked on a little bit. And so I was sitting in the back of the bus one day on the way to school, and only the cool kids sat in the back of the bus. And so I tried to be cool and sit in the back of the bus, you know. And this big dude, I don't think he grew since seventh grade. Dude's huge. He's like 8 feet. He's big. He was 8 feet. He was Goliath. And he just started slapping me around, telling me to go up front. And I just took it. Don't feel sorry for me. I just took it, you know, and finally just got angry, furious. And I stood up, and I went, boom, and I slapped him in the face. And I sat back down. And he was so much in shock, dude, he could have snapped me in half. I'm like sitting there like, oh, my God, what did I just do? What did I just do? He didn't kill me. Actually, I don't know what happened. The Lord protected me or something, but he didn't fight me back. But from then on, I had this cover up like if you're going to push me around, I will push back. And I was never a fighter. I probably couldn't fight, but I could yell and I could cuss and I could tear them down by my words. And so that's what I would do. And see, I had this real insecurity of being skinny or being made fun of. So I had this really rough exterior on the outside, and I would just cut people down. I cut them down. Because that was how I covered it up. When Mariah and I used to date, we're married now. We still go on dates, but. Oh, hey, yo. And so. So we used to have these deep conversations, and guys, come on, be with me now. When girls want a deep conversation, you're like, oh no, what's going to happen, you know, and this can be bad, and something's going to end up bad. And so, oh, girls. And so I always wore a hoodie, and so I would just cover up my head so that she wouldn't know how I was really feeling or what I was really thinking. Or she couldn't see my eyes, right? And your eyes show everything, so I just cover up my eyes. And so she couldn't see if I was tearing up or couldn't see if I was angry or anything. And she'd always rip my hood off and be like, look at me. And I'm like, no, no, I don't want to. So I put my hood back on. But really, all I was doing was trying to cover it up. I was trying to cover up how I was really feeling by putting a mask over me or a hood over me so she couldn't see my eyes. Another thing I did when I was like 6 or 7, me and a buddy of mine, we went to my backyard and we started digging this hole. Why is that funny? Everybody digs holes. Come on. So I was digging a hole. And it was a deep hole, and I don't know what caused us to do this, but we wanted to, so we dug this hole, and then we covered it up with sticks and leaves. You guys know where this is going? And so we blended it up so it looked like the rest of the yard. It was a good disguise. It was perfect. So then we brought this other kid from our neighborhood who What? Don't act like you haven't done it. Come on. So we took him and we walked him side by side. We're like, oh, just come over here. And boom, he falls in, just covered, and just gets up crying and runs away. And we're just dying, you know. So horrible, but it was funny at the time. And see, on the outside, it looked the same as the rest of it. But on the inside, there's this big hole. And see, with us, a lot of us have been hurt and wounded. And we have genuine holes that are inside, and so we try and cover it up. A lot of us have insecurities or low self-esteem, and so we cover it up with pride. We act like we're tough. We act like we're got it all together. Or we act like we're rough on the outside, but on the inside we're really hurting and really weak and really insecure. But we have this cover over us that looks like the rest of the world or looks how we want it to look. But we're really hurt. We're really hurt. I found this scripture. It's amazing. I found it today. It's in Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 5, it says, this is David talking. He says, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. That's so powerful. You know, many people go through their entire life covering hurts and wounds up. Just covering it up and like it never actually happened. You know, maybe your parents got divorced when you were young, and so you just, you tried to not let it bother you. So people would ask, how are you doing? Like, I'm fine, I don't even care. No, I knew it was going to happen. I saw it coming. You know, and so we just have this attitude like, I'm okay, I'm fine. Don't ask me any questions, I'm good. But really on the inside, we're hurt. We're hurt. It's a genuine hurt and pain. Maybe our home lives just aren't good, and you just, you want to be outside and you want to be with friends all the time because you hate going home to your family. Because it hurts. Because your mom's going to yell at you, your dad's going to yell at you. And it's just not fun being at home. I think a lot of men end up doing this. And they become workaholics because they can't control their family or handle their family or don't want to. And so they just work all the time and they cover that up like everything's okay. But at home, their family is falling apart. We all have genuine hurts and pains. Whether it's big compared to someone else's, it's big for you. I have genuine insecurities that I've covered up over the years. And see, David was saying this, that he had these too, but he said, I exposed them to you and I didn't cover them up because I knew you would forgive me of them. And I knew you would take them from me. So he exposed them. And I think a lot of us are just holding them in and covering them up. If you put a Band-Aid on a hole in your arm, you still have a hole in your arm. You just have a Band-Aid covering it up. The hole is still there. And I think tonight, some of you, the Lord's going to be calling you to expose this, to let this out and to be healed. Because only God can heal those wounds from you. You can cover them up. You can put sticks and leaves over them and make it look like you're okay. But God knows that you're hurting on the inside. And you'll never be able to heal it if you don't give it to the Lord and have Him work it out of you and work that insecurity out of you and go through that grief process if you've been hurt or someone you've lost in your life. You've got to work these things out. And then the third thing is what David did. David found his hiding places in the Lord and allowed him to fight his battles. David went to God. He could have just ran away and tried to cover it up and become somebody else. but he went to the Lord, and he found his hiding places in God. He found his refuge in God. He found his strength in God. Jonathan, his friend, came and strengthened him in the Lord because they had this special bond together. And so he was strong in the Lord. Later it says he strengthened himself in the Lord. He had that intimate relationship with God. And he knew that he could go and he could try and fight that battle by himself. And he knew he could try and run away and try and cover it up. But he also knew that neither of those would work, because the only way is really through God and finding our hiding places in him. If I could title my message tonight, you can see it up there, it's my hiding place. Where do you go in your time of need? What do you do when troubles surround you? When it feels like the same sin is pursuing you over and over, and do you just keep fighting it? Do you keep just trying and end up getting weak and getting tired? Or are you finding your refuge in God? Or are you just covering it up? God wants us to find our refuge and our hiding place in him. There's a scripture in Proverbs 22, verse 3. I heard this from a pastor named Andy Stanley, amazing man of God. This was just life to me, so hopefully it speaks to you. Proverbs 22, 3 says, "The prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it." The prudent man or the wise man sees or foresees evil or danger or troubles, and he hides himself or he takes refuge. But the naive or the simple or the one that says, "Oh, it can't happen to me," or, "Well, it may have happened to you, but, you know, not me." The naive just keep going and are punished for it. See, we have a choice when we see evil surrounding us and coming around us, and we feel like the walls are closing in on us, or we feel like just situations are too tough. We can never either see the danger ahead of us or have someone else point it out in us, and we can take refuge and hide ourselves in the Lord and allow him to work it out of us. Or we can just go on and either fight it ourselves or cover it up. All of us have had these experiences and will continue to have these experiences. But what will you do? Will you be like the prudent man, or are you like the naive where you just keep going? You just keep swinging. You just keep trying. You just keep striving to get it done on your own. But you're not placing people around you. You're not going to the Lord and finding your strength in him. You're just trying to fight your own battles. And that's works. That's what the Pharisees did. Just works, just religion. That's not what Christianity is about. It's about finding your refuge in him. In him being able to fight your battles. Scripture says that when we are weak, he is strong. But we first have to admit that we're weak and we need him for him to be strong in us. Or he's never going to be strong in us. The prudent man sees evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. The scripture I want to read in Psalm 46. A lot of scripture tonight. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear into two. He burns the chariots with fire. Here's that scripture. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. No matter what pursues you, no matter how rough it gets, or even how small it is, we need to continue to seek God and find our hiding place in Him. We can't fight our own battles and win without Him. We have to first admit that we are weak for Him to be strong inside of us. And God is calling us to greater things. He's not calling us to live a life in fear and insecurity. He's calling you to be strong and be full of love. Love that casts out all fear. God is calling us to know Him in a greater measure. And it's not by doing works. It's not by just throwing away your CDs and your movies. It's part of it. But it's by finding your refuge in Him. Finding your strength in Him. Can the worship team come back up? I have one more scripture I want you guys to hear. I know it's been a lot of scripture, and this one's long too. But this scripture is about how God knows us. And God knows every bit of us and knows us intimately. And so for us to find our refuge in Him or find our strength in Him, He knows what is best for us. He created us. He knows how to deal with each situation. So even the small situations we should be giving to the Lord and letting Him be our security and our strong tower. Psalm 139. Just think about this and make this personal about yourself. O Lord, You have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place Your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape Your Spirit. I can never get away from Your presence. Do you know that you're always in the presence of God? You can't escape it if you tried to. It's here. You don't need a Thursday night to be in the presence of God. It's where you're at. It's where the Spirit is. Verse 8, if I go up to heaven, You are there. If I go down to the grave, You are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there Your hand will guide me and Your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from You. To You, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to You. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank You for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in Your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are Your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, You are still with me. How
Hallelujah. That's a powerful passage. God knows you personally. God knows what is good for you and what is not good for you. And God's purpose of knowing you is not to condemn you, but to love you, to show compassion for you, so that you can be in His presence, and so that you can be glorified as He is glorified. There's two different things that I've felt like the Lord is laying on my heart for us tonight. Two different type of people in this room. The first one is like I've been talking about. You've been fighting your own battle. You knew that you were supposed to come to the Lord. And you've known that God is calling you for a greater measure. Or you're feeling it right now for the first time. But it's like you're in the last round and you're just swinging and your arms are jello and you've got nothing left. And tonight God is telling you to quit swinging. Quit striving. And know that I am God. Know that He is real. Know that you are in His presence now. Know that He is your place of refuge. See, David knew all these things about God, and that's why he didn't try and fight. He didn't try and run. He went to the hiding places that were in God. And tonight, God is calling you to come into His hiding place. Come into His safe place or His place of refuge. Tonight. And the second one is those who are trying to cover up those hurts and those wounds. You have significant injuries that have happened to you. Verbally. Physically, maybe. And God wants to heal those wounds tonight. He doesn't want you to keep covering them up with something that's fake and doesn't last. He wants you to give them to Him tonight. So we're going to go into a time of worship, and I'm going to call for these two groups of people. So if we can all just close our eyes and stand up. Thank you, Father.